Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dr. Terry Starlight Show. Here I am again. My gosh, the days fly by when you are busy like I am. Absolutely phenomenal. All right, now, let me bring you up to date of what I've been to before going forward and getting your calls for mini readings. I just came back from Santa Barbara. And I went to the UFO Expo, and I brought Samantha with me, my ex-girlfriend. We are a very good friend, of course. And I met all sorts of very, very interesting people. And for so many of you that are listening to the show, I am sure, or I hope you are subscribers of my newsletters, because you can see the pictures that were taken at the conference, okay? Like every one of my newsletter, including the one from Australia, from Asia, Hawaii, as you know, I take all the time pictures and allow many of you to travel and to leave my life indirectly and be kind of prompt of where I am and what I do. And that's what I did this weekend. I didn't want to work, mostly because I am very, very busy all the time. So, meantime, I just wanted to, you know, bring some books and DVDs, and they're always offering a $1,500 booth for free. So I thought, you know, I might as well just do it. So I drop all my stuff there, and neither Samantha or me stayed too long in that booth. But it was interesting. And again, we meet all sorts of people, and we drove there, so I had to drive each time I carry my stuff. And guess what? Even though that is like 800 miles, we stop in the deserts, we stop, you know, drinking or gassing and eating and all the good stuff. And, the road trip was always been very, very interesting. And incidentally, on the way back, Samantha is totally into UFOs. That girl cannot stay less than 10 minutes without bringing ETs. It's obvious that she's probably been abducted as a child or something, and I'm waiting till she's ready to retrieve all that from her subconscious. When she's solid and ready, I will do that for her. And I said to her, you know what, we're going to stop like we always do. I was on Highway 8 going west from San Diego, because we stopped in La Jolla on the way back, you know, and we went to, you know, walk on the beach and connect with the ocean, because I miss the ocean, and took her to Seaport Drive. We had breakfast there, you know, just having good time. And on the way back on the 8 West, I was telling her, you know, we're going to stop a spot route, because we always stop there. I have a gun. And I like shooting my gun, you know. and incidentally, Samantha is pretty good at it too. And we always stop there. And I mean, I was not tired, because I left San Diego or something like around 10 in the morning, so I was not tired at all. Meaning by that I could not have missed that sign or that exit. So I was purposely, and that's what drives me crazy, I was purposely looking for spot road, and I was saying to Samantha, it should be coming any minute. Well, guess what? Never seen the sign spot road. Previously to that, on the way to another conference with Samantha, I was telling her we should be arriving to Palm Springs pretty soon. So keep an eye on the big mountains, because you're going to see all these big fan, you know, and all that good stuff. Because, you know, that's pretty much how I know how far I am from specific points, you know, landmarks. And we both purposely again were looking not for the sign, but for Palm Springs. And guess what? We never saw Palm Springs. Now, this is ridiculous. and she was saying, do you think we're going to be picked up today? We're going to have some missing time? I say, Han, with you, with me, it's happening all the time. You know, and since I'm with you, because the magnet will attract a piece of wood, you're into a UFO and I'm leave by UFOs, chances are we're going to be going through some interesting experiences again. And there you go. It did happen. Of course, I didn't mention it in my newsletter, but I want to say, I saved that for you, for my faithful audience out there, to actually understand that I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't smoke. I'm into health 100%. And I was not tired once or more. And it's funny, trying to convince myself, I don't have to convince myself, because I know we missed that spot road sign again, and we never fired my gun. But it was pretty interesting to go through that one. So we took pictures with George Norrie. You know, the beauty about, and I'm not being an egocentric here, or I'm not being cocky, but, you know, George is a very famous man. I mean, the guy talked to 20 million people all the time in the week. He's a big, big guy. And totally by accident, I was not looking for him. He was not looking for me. I was on the corner of the bar sitting with Samantha, and, you know, we were having a drink. And as he walked into the place, all the speakers and all the people that were there, you know, just recognized him immediately, and some of them were even pointing him out. And I was completely at the end. I don't know, it looks like he was looking for something. He was looking around, and bang, from the other side of the lobby, he saw me. So I thought, well, you know, he's a pretty good guy. You know, is somebody that is very respectable. So I told Samantha, we have to go and say hello to him. Oh, I didn't have to do that. I did not have to do that. And I'm not being cocky. He literally went straight to us. What a pleasure, what a feeling of being entirely appreciated by the man. He came to me and says, oh, Dr. Cherry, how are you? He hugged me. Of course, Tom was there, his producer. And, you know, we hugged each other. And, of course, they hugged also Samantha. We were together when we were doing that special TV show that I was invited to. And Samantha was there, too. So he sat at our table, and we spent like 1 hour, you know, catching up with everything and this and that. And George told me that he was going to invite me on a project that he has on sci-fi. He said, you're the first guest I'm going to have. So it feels good to know that people of such a prestige and so much power get to appreciate me and my work. And then he says to me, when are you leaving? Are you staying at a conference? Are you speaking? I say, no. Come here to say hello and relax. Get away from the office with Samantha. He says, cool. He says, so tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, breakfast. Is that okay? I said, you bet. So I told him that I was going to leave the next day in the evening, you know, for La Jolla and do some sailing or just walk around like we always do. Taking a road trip, I have to relax. So next day, he came down with Tom and a couple of other people that he brought that are really nice, by the way. We had breakfast. We talked about all sorts of things. And that's where I really, really got blown away. I said, you know what? We have to get on the road, George. I really apologize for one of you guys. The table was packed. We have to leave. So he says, oh, no problem. And I start to, you know, shake hand. And as I arrive towards him, he stand up, he hugged me. And he goes, I love you, Dr. Cherry. In my ear, I said, oh, my gosh. I said, thank you, George. I really appreciate that. Then then Tom hugged me, too. So we are developing a friendship, which is pretty phenomenal. It's the first time that we met, because I was in a working environment, never met him before, he never met me before. So it was more on a professional level. But this time, I didn't have a suit on me. I had my Levi's, I had my hat on my head, and then we took a lot of pictures. And you can see those pictures. You could pick up the energy, the moment in time and space in my newsletter. So that's to catch up a little bit to tell you who I saw. Of course, Jordan Maxwell was there, my good friend Jordan. Dr. Lear is also a good friend, was there. So many people that I worked over the years, and it was a phenomenal time. We all had a great time, and of course on the way back we had this lapse of time, missing time. And came back home and do as always, being swamped with work and getting ready to fulfill my obligation to taking care of my clients, students, and patients, and everybody else, and taking care of the internet and all that good stuff. So here we are. Now you know. Let's look a little bit in the stars tonight. The moon is in Gemini, and each time the moon is in Gemini, you want to be ready for tremendous activity. So you're going to be running around. The telephone's going to get busy. You're going to get some interesting mail. Friends are going to get on the phone. So there is all sorts of news that may come around when this moon in Gemini is wrong. Remember, Gemini means also brothers and sisters, and, you know, so you may also get a call from them. Gemini rules your cars, and Gemini rules anything to do with transportation, your telephone bills. There's so many, many things. So you may get some surprise on your cell or a text message. Like I have one of my ex-girlfriend text me, and she's on her way. We're going to go out for a drink later on. I haven't seen her for a while. So, you know, all sorts of interesting communication are taking place when the moon is in Gemini. It's a perfect time to start a book or to deal with the affairs involving books and the radio. Lots more people listen to the radio when the moon is in Gemini, because Gemini rules communication. Again, I know you heard it many times on my show, but for the newcomers, Gemini is ruled by Mercury. Mercury is, according to Greek mythology, the messengers of the gods, and the control, the life and fate of both Art Bell and George Norrie. Okay? So when you have a strong Gemini, such as myself, I have the hidden dragon in Gemini, I have the moon in Gemini, and that, by the way, my ex-girlfriend, which is coming to see me at 9 o'clock after the show, has also the moon in Gemini. And of course, all the people that are into communication and are doing this type of work in broadcasting, including Don, the boss of this, without him, there would be no show, basically. So the BBS is standing because of him. And he has to have quite a lot of Gemini in his chart to be able to do so many things, to take care of so many options. And tonight, I got an email from the BBS that I had an option to answer some of the questions. And again, my webmaster is helping me to set this up and to organize it. I just got the new password for it. It's all about communication, transportation. It's all about spreading the word. So that's what the moon in Gemini does. And then that moon's going to be moving in Cancer. Okay, now remember, the moon is waning as I'm speaking to you. The moon is not waxing. The moon is not positive, so to speak. The moon is waning. And in the sign of Cancer, be ready for thousands of people to be forced to relocate because of nature going berserk. And I don't know, again, how many of you have checked my prediction in my website, but I just added that two or three weather systems are already building up. So it's coming, so be prepared. You know me, you know my prediction, my reliability. Take the time now and then to go to my website and check on those predictions and do your homework. You know, you got to pay attention. If you want to build up your cosmic consciousness and relate to my work, you got to pay attention, okay? Because I will give you all that you need to understand it, and you will be fine. On a more personal level, this upcoming moon in Cancer might mark the end of important phases of life, you know, such as, for example, if you're in a wrong relationship, well, that moon in Cancer is going to come up and do some damage to your relationship. It's the end of life. And on the pieces of news that I put on my website, a college gunman died after rampage, and the keywords are ending of life. This guy in Canada started to kill everybody. He was shot by the cops. Whitney Houston ends a tumultuous marriage, again, ending of life. Okay? Israeli general resign. Okay? This is a very important piece of news, and that's the end of a part of a life. Now, the prosecutor asks chief Jews to step down. Trial continues on some of the famous trial that's going on right now. Again, that's the ending and the beginning. Now, two hurricanes, mentioned earlier, churn in the Atlantic, and a third system nears hurricane statue. Again, the weather, new beginnings there. The scientists put a note that came all the way to CNN today. El Nino return, new beginning. Okay, the Democrats intensify calls for Rumsfeld to resign, new beginning. Rice, skeptical of Iranian suspension offer, will push forward on sanction, new beginning. The moon in Cancer marks the beginning and the end, or the end of the beginning. Okay. And as far as one of my top predictions for the year, I'm not sure, sad enough, many of you were, like me, shocked by the death of Steve Irwin. That is prediction number 9, the worst year involving the death or serious trouble for many famous actors. And I guess that not only the Crocodile Ant died, okay, but Daniel Wayne Smith died. I'm sure many of you have heard of Anna Nicole Smith, okay, that Playboy bunny. He was 20 years old, and of course he was termed suspicious by the coroner's office. Well, I tell you what, guys, it doesn't take a genius or a brain surgeon to know that these kids have direct implication with drugs. I mean, you know, being rich and being famous doesn't mean you're going to escape the power of Neptune, especially when you have too much time or too much money in your hand and you don't regenerate. In Australia, also sad enough, Peter Brook was killed while competing in a rally in Western Australia. This famous racing driver lost his life. Again, a very famous person that died. Paris Hilton failed sobriety test. Tom Cruise, Paramount, cut ties with him. Mel Gibson arrested for DUI. Boy George get hot stinking karma, forced to clean the street in New York, name it. All these big famous people are having a blast, exactly as predicted, and it's not over yet. Okay, the dragon's going to do damage to a lot of these famous people that you see in the daily base. Some of them will have a tap on the hand and being punished by picking up trash like George, in New York street. But, you know, there's other people that will suffer drastically and lose their lives. So that's what the tail of the dragon and the head of the dragon is doing. And that's why it's important for every one of you to be aware. Okay, let me ask you a question. Anyone listening to this show, yes, you, right now, listening to me, okay, whether would it be a male or female, okay, just tell me, where is the dragon's head or tail located in your chart? Now, I need to know also what you have answered that to me, in what house and what planets are conjuncting the head or the tail of the dragon. Now, if you have no clue and heard the Chinese instead of understanding my English French, right, then you're in trouble. Because now you have absolutely no idea and you are as smart as Irwin, you know, swimming above a stingray when the tail of the dragon cruises on this eighth house of death. I'm sure you read about his chart and his fate. Okay? If you did not, go to my website, scroll down to read the previous newsletter and pay attention. Read. Educate yourself. This is why people die. You don't have to die of a shocking, crazy, stupid death. Your life is much too precious for you to waste it because ignorance. That's why I'm here. Well, of course, if I got to save your life or turn your life around, I guess I deserve a little remuneration, all right? So you got to pay for it because that's what it took me, 40 years of going through pure hell for me to learn the hard way and to tap on the gift that was granted to me by the universal structure. At least you have somebody who knows what he's doing here, and I'm not Mrs. Cleo, I'm not Linda Goodman's sunshine or your horoscope newspaper. I'm Dr. Cherie, and you well know what I'm doing. If not, you wouldn't be listening, period. So, if you do not know where that tail of the dragon is, well, guess what? He's going to bite your butt. Worse than that, he might also use that stingray, you know, dart and go straight to your heart, like it happened to Steve Irwin. I'm so sorry. Imagine, just imagine 1 second, Mrs. Irwin and her two kids. Imagine, I can see the zoo being closed. I can see the people that walk around, you know, because business has to go as usual when the zoo will have to open, okay? Imagine his wife. 1 second. 1 second, she has the most beautiful, famous, loving father. The next day, he got stung by a stingray and died. My gosh, that poor lady cannot have no more tears left in her body. I can understand and I can feel what it means to lose a close one. I lost my dad. I was 11 years old. I lost my younger brother. He was 16 years old. I have lost uncles, and grandpa, and grandma. And that's okay. Don't get me wrong. But last year, with the tail of the dragon affecting negative area of my chart, I already lost two very close friends of 20 to 15 years. My gosh. And these are close friends. This is not a husband, a wife, or a child. Sad enough, I was hurt. I was hurt, and I was crying when I lost my two friends. As always, I go to my piano. I shut everything down. I don't turn anything on, and I play piano, okay? And I just play. It's my way of saying goodbye to my friend. My fingers just run on the keyboard, and I channel music from the universe that I could never replay again. But it's my way of guiding the soul, like you would put a wave, like a surfer, helping my friend's souls to aim towards the light and free themselves from the attachment of this dense physical world. And that's my way of saying goodbye. That's my way of shutting down. And suddenly I have to go back. I have to go back to work. I have to do what I have to do. And luckily for me, I'm so busy that my work consumes me so much that the pain seems to erase itself faster, much faster. The same happens, you know, when you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a friend that just drop you, hurt yourself. You have to go through such a mix of feelings, of abandonment. Your ego is hurt, resentment, pain. You know, you have to go through such a process of dying because of that person hurt your heart. But you can handle it. But when you know that that person is gone, you're waking up the next day, you say, oh, my God, this is not a dream. It's real. And again, those tears are pouring down your face. Tears run down your face nonstop like a river of pain and sadness as you have to heal. That person will not be there ever again. You will never see that person smiling, talking to you. And that's why it's so very important that you tell your close one how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much they mean into your life. Because you know what? You might not have that option tomorrow. I remember when Dave passed away. Incidentally, he came to say goodbye to me. He was living in Vegas, and he called me, and he says, you know what, Louis? It's my daughter's birthday. That was last August. And he goes, I'm taking a road trip, and she wants to see you. She wants you to do a chart. You know, that little girl is like my little girl. I raised her with the stars. Her father was my best. It's always been my best friend. I saw that little girl growing. She's like my little girl. We had a very close relationship. Still have that. But he drove here. We spent 2 or 3 days together, having a fantastic time. And the day he left, I will never forget that. I hugged his little girl, and she went right into the truck that was running. And Dave came to me. He hugged me. And he said, you know what, Louis? I know you for so many years. I want you to never forget what I'm going to tell you now. I said, what the hell? What's going on with him? He says, Louis, we had yesterday. It's gone. It's finished. We may have tomorrow, but right now we have cash in hand. And he laughed like he always did, loud, and hugged me and squeezed me. This guy was like six something. And 4 days later, he's dead. Now, was that a subconscious message for me to be ready? I even had dreams that prepare me from traumatic happenings. Be aware of your subconscious. You know, if you have a light bulb that breaks down, if you have your watch stop, if something breaks down on your car, first thing, fix it. Don't leave anything dead around you, okay? Bring the energy of life and life around you so that you're protected. But remember, that is a message from your subconscious that something has got to break down, something has to change. You know, it's just amazing. It's just, again, before, I remember that before Samantha and I, we split, she brought me a beautiful dragon that was hanging in my healing room, okay? In the middle of the night, the day before we broke up, that thing crashed in the middle of the floor, and my dog started to bark like, you know, he was shocked. The cat was all going, you know, under the sofa. And I said, my gosh, what happened? Explosion. And I went there and I saw that. I said, oh, my gosh, that is the present that Samantha gave me. And next thing you know, he was a million pieces on the floor. And that told me exactly what I was going to go through. And it happened. All right. Now, let's take the first caller here. Hello?
Hi, Dr. Turi. It's Helena.
Where are you calling me from, hon?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Let me have your numbers.
June 25th, 1950.
So we have 6, 26. Always give me the number. What are you?
Oh, 25.
Oh, 25. June 25, 1955.
1955.
Yes.
No, 50.
Okay. So that's why you want to say 6/25/1950.
Mhm.
Okay, I got you, honey. Do you have any specific question for me, or do you just want to know where your dragon is?
Well, I think I know where my dragon is, but I have a question. This year on my birthday, it was the new moon, and I'm pretty dissatisfied with my life, and I'm just wondering if that means things are going to be better now.
Well, honey, first of all, you have the tail of the dragon, as I'm speaking to you, affecting your home area and your career. Okay, but most of all, your own dragon still is conjuncting your moon sign in Libra that could give you a lot of problem in the affairs of love, romance, children, and partners. Do that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, what you have to do is to think 1 second. And I'm going to be very honest and very direct with you, okay? So don't take it personally, okay? You know how I am.
Okay. Yes.
Do you have your 2 eyes?
Yes.
Do you have your 2 legs?
Yes.
You don't have cancer?
That's correct.
You know, now, do you understand me, honey?
I do, sir. I do.
I'm telling you, sweetheart, I have people that come here. I have this little girl that came here the other day, 16 years old. She was crying to me. She's paralyzed. And she goes, you know what, Dr. Turing? I wish I could have the problems, the worst problem of any of your clients.
Yeah.
But what I have. So this is what I'm asking you, honey. Look at your blessings. Don't swim downstream. There is people around you that are going through pure hell. I just mentioned Mrs. Irwin losing her husband.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you didn't lose
a
husband or a child. So just try to see life the way I do. And you know, get your blessings for everything that the universe is allowing you. You know, for a good friend giving you support. Even if it's going outside and looking up and seeing some birds flying, try to appreciate life before it squeezes through your fingers.
Yes.
And then guess what? You are going to, if you clean up your thought process, as the future is the reincarnation of your thought, you are going to raise your vibration to such a high level that you are going to start to attract luck and happiness. I mean, tell me, a magnet will not attract a piece of wood, honey. How can you attract happiness and love and money and riches if you're constantly down the hill?
Yes.
Okay, so you need to purify your thought process so that your subconscious realizes that you're beating your head for nothing, and it should just give you what you need. Every single day I count my blessings. Every single day. Regardless of what happened to me, I always say tomorrow, you know, is a better day. And most of the time, tomorrow is a better day just because I believe it. Make sure to do the Kabbalistic Candle Ritual, okay?
Yes, yes.
You do that, you can download it from my website. Make sure to get up with your right foot. Don't get up with your left foot.
Oh, okay.
Make sure to make your bed right away. Don't wait. All these little tricks, the subconscious is, say, okay, she's, and don't leave anything messy around you because that means you're unstable in the mind. And don't let every little thing harass you because your life's going to be a nightmare. Just laugh at somebody who's trying to hurt you. And be compassionate and remember, don't let no one affect you and hurt you. Because most of the time, all that's around you breeds a negative thought process and ultimately you become your worst enemy. Do I make sense?
Yeah, total sense. Total.
All right, now, the dragon's head is in your career area. So if you're not depressed, and if you think clear and you don't let negativity get to you, you're going to start progressively. And this means, of course, maybe knowing that you have to do something to make more money and to find happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to take a chance. So remember, the worst thing that can happen to people is to hope for a better life, more money, good career, love, and being negative or doing nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So take chance. Listen to that little voice inside of you. That little voice has a lot of power, and that is what guides your subconscious to get places in life.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweetheart. So be positive. I don't want to hear you being going down here anymore.
I thank you so much. I love you. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Good night.
Good night.
You know, this amazes me sometimes when I see people that have absolutely no right to hurt themselves. You know, do you know what I see sometimes when I see my friends complaining or people, you know, calling me going berserk? I imagine, and it sounds funny, but I imagine somebody with a hammer hitting his head. And then I'm thinking, why don't you stop? Guess what? It's going to feel much better if you stop. Do I make sense? So don't beat your head. You know, just, I don't know. It took me so many years to, you know, to turn myself into that positive machine that I am. But trust me, there were times when I was really down and really depressed, especially when the tail of the dragon was in my subconscious. I used to get up in the morning. I had no direction. I would find myself walking in the street and say, "What the hell am I going? What's going on?" I had no idea why I felt so depressed. I felt totally lost focus. And it was like being harassed by this dragon. And it's because I wanted to understand why all of a sudden me, the most positive man in the world, felt like if I was to die. And I start to look around. I open my books. I punch my computers. I look at everything. What is it? Where is it? Why? The ultimate question. Why did I feel this way? Guess what? I found out that the tail of the dragon was affecting my subconscious. All right, let's get another caller. Caller, where are you and what's your name?
My name is Joe, and I'm from New Jersey.
Joe, okay, Joe, give me your numbers, please, my friend.
Sure, August 29, 1968.
Okay, so that's 8-29, what year?
1968.
What's your name again?
Joe.
Joe, okay, that's my brother's name, so. All right, Joe. Okay, let me see here. Let me tell you a few things about you, okay? Answer my question. I know you're a private person, but did you have some difficulties on the upbringing or with your mother? Just a question. Yes or no?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good. All right. Now, that tells me that your moon in Scorpio is not negative. Now, you never had any addiction with drinking, drugs, or anything like that? Just be honest.
Nah,
yes or no?
I'm in pretty good shape.
Okay, good, good. All right. So you are the progressive Leo, okay, because there is you have, like all Leos, what you call a drive for health and a drive for a long life because of the subconscious fear of death. That's very common with Leo. And you are overloaded with Virgo in your chart. And Virgo rules homeopathic healing and organization.
Mm-hmm.
Do you work hard?
Yeah, if I'm really interested in something, yeah, I like to strive hard on it.
Right. No, but do you do any form of art? Are you into the arts question?
No, not really.
No, okay, because your dragon's tail is into the sign of Libra, that is a Venusian sign that deals with the art. But Libra was also legality, psychology, and anything that balanced and harmonized.
Yeah,
your head is in Aries, though. That's very progressive. What type of work do you do, if I may?
Well, I work mostly with my hands. I'm using trade right now. I'm in the construction field.
Field. So it's funny because I have the same dragon that you have in Aries, which is ruled and controlled by Mars. And Mars is the planet of fire, machinery, construction, the army, the navy. And I was myself working in the construction field for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Do that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay, now, the head of the dragon has moved into the sign of Pisces, and the tail is on your second house of money. So this could mean to you finding partners that are worthwhile your time, okay? Because you're an investigator. I can see that. You hide it very well, but you're very emotional, and you have that inner strength. But you also have a huge heart, and then people can use and abuse you because of your concern
right, yeah.
and your feelings. Do that make sense?
Yeah, I think.
And
yeah,
that could bring you, if you're not careful, two or three marriages. And you're laughing because you can connect with me now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this head of the dragon in the sign of Pisces, hypothetically speaking, you hear me,
mm-hmm.
wants you to die, but not physically, okay? This head of the dragon wants you to reevaluate all about metaphysics, all about the way you make money with partners. And this head of the dragon will do miracle in bringing you partners that have something to offer you, either a business partner or an emotional partner. It looks like if money is coming your way. That's good news, yeah?
Yeah, that's very good news because things haven't been all that great of late.
Well, you're going to do just fine. Do you get any headaches or sinuses?
Nothing severe. Maybe.
Do you wear glasses?
No.
Okay, good. All right. Again, I'm checking are you Saturn in Aries, and you're responding positive from your head. You need to understand the importance of finding your powers. As a Leo, you're supposed to create, you were born in the constellation of Leo with your sun sign in Virgo. You understand me, yeah?
A little bit, but not.
Right.
No, I don't know.
You, in my work, you are a Leo. That means you have to build something, create something, you know, run your show. And with the head of the dragon in Aries, it's not a good idea for you to work for other people. I was working for other people for many years until I found myself and create my kingdom. You have the same dragon that I have.
Right.
So you need to be confident. You also have that duality about you. Everything will take place by 2, 4, 6 in relationships, in business, and so forth, until you find yourself. And the dragon is going to give you the option to do so. You got great ability in healing. You got great ability in investigating corporate endeavors. And you're mostly lucky with foreigners and in foreign lands. Now, have you thought of writing? Just a question.
I'm not sure. You know, I thought of it, yes, but,
you're still in the physical aspects of your life. Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, when I was in construction myself, I had enough of smoking, oil or smelling oil and getting dirty and getting all around and, you know, killing my body. And I had to educate myself and remove myself from the physical aspect of that dragon's head, which is engineering, fire, machinery.
I've thought about that many times.
Right. You need to get into the intellectual aspect of your dragon's head, like I do, and get involved in communication, in writing, in healing. But nothing is going to happen to you unless you make a commitment to educate yourself. And then you're going to be harassed by your dragon to find out who you are. You know what I'm saying? That's why you're highly spiritual.
It's going to be a hard thing to go through.
Well, it's not exactly hard if you have the right people to guide you. If you were, for example, to read some of my material or become a student of mine, you'd be on the right track pretty fast because they can see you as a people person.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to find your strengths and stop to rely on other people and worry too much about the wrong relationships or your partnerships. You got to go it alone for a while and concentrate on you.
Right.
And you don't socialize enough also.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and if you don't socialize, you're going to miss the opportunity to talk to people that can open some doors to you.
Right.
But as a rule, being born in August, your soul's purpose is to find the light, promote the light, build your kingdom, your self-esteem. And ultimately, at the end, when you find yourself in a good career, you will find love. Because that's what's in your mind quite a lot, a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Got all that?
Yeah, you pretty much got me down, you know, what I really wanted to hear. But the question is mostly, most of the time I've been told like I'm a Virgo. But
well, you are a Virgo, you are a Leo, you're a Scorpio, you're a Cancer, you have every sign of the zodiac. Again, sorry enough, I cannot teach you the complexity of astro psychology on the phone tonight.
Right,
but,
right.
But you're very curious, you're an investigator, and right. My top student are Virgos. So you have a good mind for investigation. You're private, so maybe working on a field that demands research and healing on the privacy of your home may be a good way for you to go so that you can find your head and create something from the base of operation. I don't know, maybe you should consider joining us in Sedona at the end of the month and take the course and meet some very highly spiritual people.
Hmm.
And if you can afford it, well, then take it by mail. There is different options.
Right, right.
But do something. You know, this head of the dragon wants you to reevaluate the way you make money. You had it. You're fed up. It's hurting. You need to go. You don't need anybody to tell you anything anymore. You have overworked yourself physically. Now it's time for you to turn around and go into the spirits or the intellectual side of yourself, and you're going to do a miracle. But reach that head of the dragon. Stop letting people tell you what to do.
Correct.
Find
okay.
yourself and go for it, buddy. You will. You have a year and a half to do that, and you will.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
You surely will come.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Yeah, you know, the dragon said in Aries, I have the same dragon, you know, than Joe, so, man, can I connect and relate to this guy? Oh, my gosh. I remember working at Pearl Harbor on San Diego U.S. base, operating this big crane, you know, driving bulldozers. Okay, I was making $85 an hour. That's good money, you know. But, man, when I used to go home, my back was killing me. I was hurting, and I was, you know, working with a bunch of imbeciles most of the time. I didn't know what to do, you know. And I said, okay, enough is enough. I got to do something. I have to raise my vibration outside of this smell of fuel, outside of this, you know, construction field, this swear all the time, no class, dirty, messy, things that I did not like, ultimately. And I meant business. I really did. I meant business. And then, all of a sudden, out of the blue, my dream gets rewarded. I get people to help me in so many different ways. You know, and if you mean business, if you do mean business, the universe has magical ways of bringing to you your wishes. But if you don't mean business, if you hang around and being pretty much like the majority of people, doing nothing or the wrong thing, you're going to get nowhere. It's common sense. So that's the idea. You have to be positive. You have to be productive. You know, Joe, I can see with his moon in Scorpio, is kind of an introvert guy, you know, patient, giving, and it could take a lot. It could take a lot of hits, but when he gets mad, he gets mad. And I think he's at the end of his rope on his head of the dragon, moving in the right direction. For his own sake, I hope he's going to take my direction properly. Now, let's see. Looking at the current pattern, which means the stars above our head, right now, as mentioned earlier, we have that moon in Gemini that makes people more communicative and action and so forth. We still have the tail of the dragon in the sign of Virgo, and we are in September, so the tail of the dragon is within this month, and it's part of my prediction. As mentioned in my books, different radio show, and on my website, the worst month for the year 2006 will be March and September. Well, if you don't pay attention and don't watch the news, March and September are going to go by, you ain't going to see nothing. So, now you have it, the tail of the dragon into the sign of Virgo, it's going to do some damage. Anything from bad weather to airplane crashing, God knows what this tail of the dragon is going to do, but be prepared, okay? Mars is in Libra now, the lord of war, the red planet of aggressivity, is into the sign of love, balance, and harmony. And that means, as Libra rules marriage and partnerships, your wife, your connection with your girlfriend, this Mars is going to put some trouble here. Your Mars is going to fight. So instead of letting the red planet and destabilize your relationship, it may be a good idea for you to be more compromising and to understand that this Mars in the sign of Libra will do all that it can to disturb your relationship and making your partner very sensitive. Okay? Now, Mars doesn't have to be negative. I know Mars is in Libra. I know Mars is on my dragon's tail on top of that, trying to screw up a lot of my relationships. I know all that. So what do I do instead? I use the forces of Mars to aim towards balance and harmony, and instead of losing the balance, which is the scale, Libra is the scale, a little bit of wind is enough to unbalance the scale. And instead of taking things personally, I laugh, you know, and I don't respond to any form of attacks. You know, I use my Mars to keep balance and harmony at all costs. So you need to know where your Libra is in your chart. Okay, you need to know what house that is, and you have to know that you have the planet of war in this house. Mars was also danger. If you have Mars in your home area, you're going to try to fix the electric socket and get shocked. Or you may do something and forget to turn the gas off, and next thing you know, your house is in fire. Remember, Mars is the red planet of fire, danger and aggressivity. So if you have it in the home area, I mean, that's going to be kind of a war zone for a while until Mars gets out of the house. Now, if you know that Mars is in your home area, why don't you do some heavy-duty tasks? Mars wants you to bring machinery, to bring tools, to destroy, to rebuild. So clean the garden, you know, cut your trees, to all, do all the stuff that I had to do to make sure I use this Mars properly. Okay, and I don't let it bug me. Mars was the law, okay? And just a few months ago, the poor guy just ran into the side of my Corvette and put like $1,500 damage in it, which my insurance cover. And today I got subpoena. I got a letter from the court that I have to go there, and I, you know, they want me to do something against the guy. I've been subpoenaed, so I have to go. Mars is driving me into the world of Libra, which rules also the laws. See, so I knew something was going to take place, not only on the personal level or with some business partners, frictions, but also with the law. And on the other hand, I got some good calls to some business partners that I'm involved with, including Don, telling me that things are done, things are being done to bring more balance, more harmony, and more energy into that specific house. So it may be a good idea for you, as I said earlier, to find out where Mars is and remember to control the planets of war into the house in question and the affairs ruled by the house. Most importantly, you better find out where the tail of the dragon is located by house and sign. So unlike Steve Irwin, you don't get killed by the tail of the dragon cruising through your eighth house. But again, because the tail of the dragon is in the eighth house of death, doesn't mean you have to die. Joe, the previous caller, Leo, has the head and the tail in that house, so do I. He's going to die, yes, as I said to him. I said, you're going to die. Hypothetically speaking, you're going to die to the affairs of the eighth house, which means the way you get your paycheck, the way you dwell with metaphysics, the way you perceive partnerships and their help. I have the tail of the dragon in my house of death. Do you think I'm taking chances on the highway? Do you think I'm going to go and play with crocodiles or jump out of an airplane? Hell no. Sorry, my French. I am aware, I'm knowledgeable. The same thing that I always say is repetition is a must in my work. Okay? So if you heard it before, so bear with me. Okay? 3 or 4 weeks before the tsunami, I was supposed to go to Phuket in Thailand with Owen. Visiting him, he told me my week off is on, it was Christmas. I want to go there and I want to see all the beautiful temple and explore it. I said, no way, Jose. He says, why? I said, because I don't go anywhere after the full moon, especially when Uranus is in Pisces. Yeah, ocean, so Uranus, Saturn, release of energy, earthquake, hey. I didn't go. And the next thing you know, I said, my butt and his butt. That's what knowledge is all about, people. Knowledge is power. Ignorance is evil. You know, the only thing that you can do for yourself is to acknowledge your relationship with the divine. Do your homework. Pay attention to all that I do, to all that I say, to all that I write. And then soon, very soon, you're going to say, oh my gosh, there is actually something in Dr. Terry's work. Take the time to go to my website. Read the quatrain that I write. Understand the keywords and look at the timing. Dead on, it will happen. Why? Because the past and the future are being my witness. My past is a sure clarification, a sure road to what my future will be in a very different way. Okay? Progressively. I come from hell. That's why I wanted to name my book, You Are God. I thought I was going to title it From Hell to Heaven. From all the stress, the drama, losing family members, being in the streets, homeless, fighting, gang, all that I went through as a kid. Running away from hell to paradise. All along I was lucky as young friends like me died next to me, either in car accidents, with drugs, or being shot. And here I am. I should be dead so many times, but the universe decided to keep me alive, not to waste my life, okay? And the universe, because I asked the universe, start to give me inner information that I pay attention to, and that led me into who I am and what I do today. I'm telling you again. And I came in the United States with $50 in my pocket. Trust me, I was not a really happy guy. You know, I had no friends, no car, no place to stay, no job, no green cards. Man, I had a lot of reasons to be depressed, right? Imagine that. You do that. You take off to France with $50 in your pocket, like I did. And then we're going to talk again in 20 years from now. If you mean business, trust me, the universe will bring you the right people, the right situation, the right opportunity, and the luck all along. But you have to mean business, because if you don't take drastic action or drastic decision in your life, you're going to be sleeping through life. You're not going to feel like I do. And that's okay. A lot of people decide to take drugs and drink or doctor medication because they got so much pain. You know, they're already dead. What's the point? Live your life. Enjoy your life. Why? Because you got plenty of time when you die to sleep. Get up in the morning and do what you have to do. All right, I think I can take another caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling me from? Hello? All right. Caller, I've lost you. Where are you? Hello, caller. Well, I don't know. I might have lost this caller. I'm sorry. Well, maybe give me a buzz. We're just a minute away from the show anyway, so I would have to rush on doing that reading, which is something I don't really like. So I'm going to ask you to tune in the next week, caller, if you hear me. And many of you just talk about my show around you, okay? And come and visit me on the website. And if you have any questions, if you can't afford a big reading, you know I'm here every Wednesday. So I could take care of you. And, you know, also download this show, okay? talk about the show and other great speakers on the program, okay? And pass on this information, because this is how many people learn, by listening to people like me and other people that have their gift in metaphysics. All right, we come at the end of this show. Good night, America. See you next Wednesday. This is Dr. Terry Starlight Show. Bye-bye.